The peace of Christ be with you. Two quick notices. The first notice is this. Today is the last day for signups for Talmudim groups, as well as women's small group, grow.hope.edu. You can sign up there or come over to the Keppel House. Second notice is, if any of you would like to have coffee in the cup and chaucer after chapel, I'm buying. On Fridays, yeah, there you go. If anyone needs a cup of coffee, it's on the college. I hope Dr. Bolt was not here. All of you come, get a free cup. Here's the third thing, and most important this morning. Some of you may know about Derek Emerson, who works in conference services, and his little boy Oliver is going under chemo treatment. We've got some students who kind of organized a signing for him. And so we're going to keep this up after chapel for anyone to come and write a little encouraging note to Oliver. So before that, I want to just pray for the Emerson family, if that's okay, before we begin. And as Christians, what we're after is a body of Christ. And when one of us hurts, we all hurt. And so let's pray for Oliver, shall we? Lord, we pray for the Emerson family and for Oliver, who may not even know all the things that are going on in his life, but we pray for his parents, his brothers and sisters, and we just ask, God, that you would intervene and bring full healing, bring hope, bring faith, and above all, surround them with your love. And all of hope said, amen. Hey, this semester, we're working through Philippians, and as you've heard me speak, Philippians is a letter from one friend to another. It used to be that friends who weren't immediate to each other would write letters. And some of you know that I have a relationship of letters with an old friend of mine from grad school, Karis. Karis is the dean of the chapel at Despondent University in upstate Washington in Whatmore County. And she wrote me a letter this week after her first week of school that I thought might be relevant for us as we kind of finish our first week. So with your permission, I'd like to read a letter for you freshmen. Occasionally, I get a letter from my friend Karis, and I just like to kind of share it because I think she's wise, cool. September 1st, 2008. Dear Trigvi, it's September, and Despondent U is spinning like a top. The energy is like concentrate. The faculty are quick to class, the students are fresh-faced, and the albino squirrels are running wild across the quad. I love this September at Despondent U. I love September because I get to observe the season's fashions for the first time. Students walk past my window at Revelation Memorial Chapel, and it's like a fashion runway in New York City. So far, I've noticed that the old is new. For example, skinny jeans, V-neck tees, and stretch pants are back. I won't tell them. If you don't, it's actually a Reagan-era throwback to the 80s. I'm seeing lots of longboards rolling past my window. Bob cuts and Tom shoes. Mini skirts with tall boots are a popular combo, along with top crops, hot pants, and tap shorts are in from the 70s. Ray-Ban and aviator glasses are in fashion. The top colors I've learned from the fall from those who know are golden glow, living coral, purple orchid, chocolate truffle, lagoon, woodbine, and, as Kate Davila is wearing today, oyster gray. For the men, the hipster look is in, messy hair with gel, and shirts from thrift stores. The hipster look, from what I gather, is a calculated to make it look like someone is too cool to care about fashion. But isn't that the irony? If the look is calculated to look like you don't care, it actually means you do care, doesn't it? Though it may just be me, but I've also been seeing some men on the quad stepping it up. Not everyone is looking like a hipster that rolled right out of bed. I've seen some men walking past my window in classic shirt and ties and jackets. Is it finally happening? Have you been right all along? Are you a prophet for our age? You have been arguing for years that one day the tide would turn and the classic suit would make a comeback. I've never believed you. In fact, I've mocked you. But this year, who knows? You might finally be hip. Thanks to Mad Men, the classic suit may be making a comeback. I love September not only for the fall fashions, but also for the weather. It's humane. In September, the long light of summer lingers late, and at the half-light spreads flat shadows across the campus. The 80 degrees we enjoyed in August are giving way to cool mornings. Today we had a northwest breeze, cool and crisp, where it was warm enough to wear shirts, but cool enough for a sweater. It's as if in September you can be captain of your entire wardrobe. I love September because the campus never looks better. It's a postcard. The grass is still cut, and the evergreen trees lining Viking Park arch over the brick sidewalks with a leafy canopy. Walking under the Arboretum Tunnel makes me feel like I'm taking a passage back through time, which I guess in some ways I am. A university, a college like ours, is a passage through time. It is a space set aside, even protected, to travel backwards and attend to the wisdom of those who went before, that we might learn the insights and perspectives to guide us into the future. And this can be a magical experience. Here, we are invited to step back in time through the and converse with those who thought and wrote books and gave lectures. We're here to learn ideas and inspire action, invention and experiment, in order that we might participate in the human pursuit of truth. And I love being part of that pursuit. It ennobles the soul. But I mostly love September because the students are back. It's lonely in the summer, pasturing a place when no one's here. September students return and begin the transition into yet another year in their academic life. And these transitions are not always easy or smooth. I was reminded of this when I met my friend, Tally Sky, yesterday at That's It Bistro. I love That's It Bistro. My friends Thomas and Catherine own and operate the restaurant. Thomas and Catherine got paralyzed by so much choice when they went out to eat, and they always wanted to open a restaurant to support local farmers, so they created That's It. They highlight the best of what they find locally. The menu changes with the seasons. Thomas is a wonderful chef, and whatever is on the menu, well, that's it. You get one choice of everything. There's one kind of salad. That's it. One kind of sandwich, there's one kind of pizza, one kind of entree, one kind of pasta dish, one kind of dessert, one kind of coffee. If you ask for a variation, you'll get the answer, no, that's it. Tally is a returning senior, and she wanted to get together and talk about her summer. She had spent the previous semester abroad, and she brought pictures to show me where she traveled. Over the summer, she had worked at a publishing house, editing copy and writing travel stories in Seattle. In our talk, Tally said something interesting that reminded me that beginnings often take time to adjust to. She said, I was so excited to return to campus. All last semester, all I wanted to do was come back and see my friends. But I have to confess, I thought the transition back this September would be easier. I've had a harder time adjusting than I thought. Everyone is different. My friends, the school, I don't know, maybe I'm different. I feel strange. I asked what she felt strange about. She said, I guess I'm figuring out that the transitions of life never stop. I thought that as a senior I'd have this down, but I don't. It's hard because every transition is a change, and every change is a loss. Every beginning means something has ended, and that's not easy. It's true, I said. It's not easy. You're not imagining it. I love talking with Tally. Tally's one of those cool students, not trendy cool. Her cool is embodied in a quiet confidence that comes from being comfortable with who she is. Now, this was not always the case. Tally came to Despondent U thinking she was on the pre-med track. She was on a soccer scholarship. However, her first semester, she learned that she actually didn't like science. She was devastated. Her whole identity was wrapped up with her plan. And when her plan wasn't working, she didn't know what to do because she didn't know who she was. And in Tally's own words, she started making a lot of poor decisions. Decisions she would have liked to have taken back. She quit soccer because her late nights were bleeding into mornings. She gave up on taking school seriously. She hooked up, thinking sex was casual. I learned, she said, that it wasn't. And I drank a lot. My grades suffered. She was put on academic probation that first semester. In Tally words, I lost my compass. But that was then. Today, as a senior, as we sit at That's It Bistro, she's a different person, and she's flourishing. And I asked her, Tally, what made the difference for you? She said, it was when I realized that just because I didn't groove on science, just because I wasn't going to be a doctor, didn't mean that I had lost or missed my talent or my calling. I was so anxious I had missed it, paralyzed. I guess I had thought my identity was a result of my ambition rather than my ambition flowing out of my identity. I remember that you prayed for me that semester out of Philippians, way back when we met for the first time. You reminded me that my life flows out of my life with God, not the other way around. I was so anxious, scared of failing, scared of not making friends or fitting in. And you gave me this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I thought about that a lot. I wanted that peace, and I took it literally. I started praying about anything and everything that made me anxious. I started praying, maybe for the first time in my life, honest, soul-screaming prayers. I started to write my prayers down, and that's when I discovered that I loved to write. I discovered I was good at it, that what I really wanted to do in life was to be a writer. And that's when things started to turn around. And then I asked, Tally, if you had the chance now as a senior to say and get to give advice to the freshman Tally, what would you say? She said, I don't like giving out advice. It makes me feel like a stale fortune cookie. But if you had to, what would you say, I asked? What would you want to know as a freshman? If I had to, Tally said, I would say something like this. Give yourself space to adjust to transitions. They are hard. I tell myself to pray. Don't stew in anxiety. I'd say be patient and think long term about your life. Be like the trees who adopt a long perspective. I'd say make good decisions. The decisions you make as a freshman stay with you. I'd say be discerning and make good friendships, real friendships. I'd say alcohol does not conspire your best. I tell my freshman self, be a student, a real student. Do the work. Make the most of this opportunity. Study hard, not to give your life identity, but as a result of your identity in Christ. I tell myself to only take hard classes where the professors made demands, cared enough to push me, to read thick books, and to think well. I tell myself, avoid lazy professors. Avoid all the care and share courses, Tally's term for classes that break up into small groups and no one says anything. I tell myself to find my talent. This is not always evident. You have to dig. You have to discover it by trying something you may not be good at. I tell myself to risk failure. That's what I'd say to my freshman self. But I'm glad I don't have to. I hate giving advice. What I really needed as a freshman was a solid relationship with a friend. Maybe somebody older who could come alongside to encourage me and model how to make good decisions. That would have been a game changer my freshman year. After lunch, I stopped and got a cup of coffee at Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, life's hard, have a cup of coffee. And I thought about Tally's fictional advice to herself. And it was wise. Pray. Make good decisions. Be a friend. Be a student. Find your talent. Risk. Make it count. And Trigvi, that's my prayer for you as you start the year. Make it count. And if you do, I think Hope's campus will be a magical place. It's September, my friend, and I love it. I love the fashion, the weather, but mostly my students. A new generation of Tally Skies is here, planted in faith like seeds. And if loved, tended, nurtured, they have the possibility to yield a harvest of amazing abundance that will feed the world hungering for beauty, for goodness, for truth. Let's make it count, you and I. Tend your soil well. Tell Kristen and little Trigvi hello. And that's it from Despondent U, where the students are wise, the chaplain is deep, and the faculty are above average. Grace and peace, your friend, Karis. My friends, as you step into this weekend, as we move out of our first full week together, my encouragement to you is to make it count. Be discerning. Make good friendships. And let's make Hope College a magical place where our ambitions flow out of our life with God, not the other way around. Amen? Amen. Go in peace, and if anyone wants a cup of coffee, I'm buying.